everybody, and welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 432, the show where everything's made up and the points don't matter. No, wait, that's another show. Hey, I'm Mark. I'm your host, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox, and joining me this week are the guys you're really here to see, the door-to-door geek Steve McLaughlin and Eric, the executive Ardini. Hey, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How's it going?
Well, you know, I could complain, but nobody likes a whiner, so I'm okay.
I'll say Eric's name this week is the Road Warrior, nice. But Mark's name this week is the Phone Support Vigilante, because you went through a definite ordeal and you did what most people don't do, which is completely stand your ground.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go into a big story, but I'm just gonna say Bank of America has perfected the art of apathetic incompetence. And at some point, you just have to say, you know, you have to do a Picard and say, this far, no farther. The line must be drawn here, Borg. And
there's only four lights.
And I think there's probably half of our audience that could say, I could have told him that.
Yes, yes. Well, that's the thing. They're the 800-pound gorilla in banking. And so they act like they're the 800-pound gorilla. It's almost like they don't want to make money from me.
Well, it's like they don't need to make any more money off of you.
I guess that's it.
Yeah.
Before we get started, I want to give a huge shout out to Mr. Kevin McLaughlin. He stepped up, and after, I think, trolling Mark on Google+, gave us a donation. I don't know if he's comfortable with us saying, you know, anything else about that, but thank you very much. My son's birthday is less than a week away now, and you're going to make him very happy, sir.
Yeah, I really appreciate it at $500, Kevin. Oops, sorry.
Yeah, that was it. I'll say part of he gave a Google Play credit, which is very cool for somebody who does an app show.
Absolutely.
So that was very nice. Yes, and I may use it for hardware because Google I/O came out this week with some hardware that I think I need to have more devices in my house listening to what I say all the time, especially once it goes straight to Google.
Well, yeah, but you're not home right now because you're on the road. So today, are you going to take it with you?
Ooh, boy. You know, I brought a little Bluetooth speaker with me, so maybe I would. I probably would.
Yeah, and it's called, the Google device is called what again?
Google Home?
Google Home, yes. And what I didn't know or realize, or to a degree believe, until Eric said it twice, you can buy hardware with Google Play credit. So you get opinion rewards long enough, you can buy hardware pieces of devices. That kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, if you answered thousands of questions, you could get a phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I answer a lot every day, and I don't get paid. Well, actually, I do get paid.
So now I'm not going to kick myself so hard for not buying an Amazon Echo yet, because I must have known in the back of my mind that this was coming. And yeah, so I'm the Road Warrior this week because I'm podcasting live from beautiful, historic Rock Island, Illinois, home of gangsters and gangsters and I think like liquor barons back in the day.
And gambling, and you're there for ethics training.
I am here for police and fire pension training, and then tomorrow's 8 hours of ethics training. Yes.
I guess, yeah.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
I made a C in ethics in college, so apparently I never was very good at that.
Every year when my job asks me to fill out something, yada, 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 ethics, yada, yada, mm-hmm. I purposely every year don't do it until they threaten me with being suspended because I don't think it's ethically, I don't think it's ethical for them to ask me for the information they're asking me for.
Okay.
Yeah. It's odd.
Well, I'll ask about both you guys. Was there anything you heard at Google I/O? Did you follow any of Google I/O? Was there anything you heard that interested you? Because I will say I actively followed nothing about it, mm-hmm. and I waited for other people to tell me what they thought was cool.
I've been in a cave the last week, a work cave, so no, I haven't done anything. So it's all on you, Eric.
The Google Home is Google's answer to Amazon Echo. Android N is coming to many devices this summer, and they came out with their own VR head unit thing that you put your own phone inside of, similar to cardboard but nicer, and has a little remote that goes with it. And they said there's going to be approved devices for it, probably the Nexus devices, but then also ones with HTC, Samsung, probably screens that are 4K to make this stuff really pop.
Yeah, and the I kept getting the impression there was a gamepad device that went with it, which I will say, if you intend on doing games in VR, you better have... my logic is, if you have a dedicated gamepad, then it's much more likely for game developers to program accurately towards it. The Unreal Engine, because of Vulkan, Project Vulkan, which is like DirectX, but for other platforms and for Windows, is going to be on Android. Because of Vulkan, you'll be able to run Unreal Engine games on Android, and that opens up the door for some pretty, I'm not going to say spectacularly high-end games, but some good-looking games.
And their VR set's called Daydream VR.
Right, which is, I think, a horrible name, but whatever. And the application that was put out by Cyanogen Mod called Daydream has been renamed to what it should have been called from day one, Screensaver.
Yes.
Oh, that's built into Google?
Where you put your phone in Daydream mode and it shows pictures.
Yes, because all it actually is a screensaver. So right. Calling it a screensaver kind of makes sense because it's a screensaver.
And they had some Android Auto stuff that came out today or yesterday, one of the two.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I really understand the controller device, whatever it is, but I hope it makes gameplay, at least semi-sophisticated gameplay, possible.
I haven't checked it out yet, but they've got another. Google has something called Duo, D-U-O, which is a voice, a visual telephone app.
Well, here's the gimmick. We have Hangouts on desktop. We have Hangouts on mobile. Hangouts on desktop, people have been using for years for chat. And then you have Hangouts conferencing, where you can do video and audio chatting with groups or individuals. We have that on phones. And it's very usual, and it's very functional, and everyone seems to hate it. And it never took off on mobile. So what it looks like they're doing is, to me, just rebranding. They're going to, it looks like, give up on Hangouts on mobile and release this Duo, which is supposed to be like a FaceTime competitor.
Correct, yeah.
App.
And then there was that other thing that seems to replace a different part of Hangouts that we were using for chatting or messaging the other day. It's supposed to be for group collaboration. It's called Spaces. And
right.
That's another thing.
Which is like, almost like a Google Plus community, which is almost like Google Wave,
yeah.
Which is almost like a prettier version of just a group chat and Hangouts. It's utterly confusing what the hell it is, why the hell you would use it. Because my logic is, if you're using Google, you're going to use Hangouts, or you're going to use Google Plus. To use Spaces is taking some of that functionality out, putting it into a single silo. And I will say, on mobile, you don't need the app. And I came to a realization. I literally this week, guys, came to at least a semi-realization. I'm going to go through and audit all my applications on my phone. If you need notifications from an app, that's the only time you absolutely, positively have to have the app installed. Otherwise, you can just use a mobile web interface for any and everything, pretty much. Because I looked at Spaces via Chrome, the web browser. Visually, I could not tell the difference between the app and the Chrome page. The only difference I could bring to mind was, well, if you have the app, then if someone does something in there, you can get a pop-up or a notification update that, you know, Eric added a comment.
Well, that's another thing that they came out with. This week is wasn't there a phone recently, and I don't remember the name of the phone, that said you don't have to install the apps, they'll just quickly download them off the somewhere when you need them.
Robin phone, does that ring a bell?
That's right, yes, Robin phone. Thank you, Mark.
It's called the Next Bit Robin, and listener Steve Sears has one. He's told me a little bit about it, and I picked up a lot of other stuff about it. Very interesting concept, semi desirable, kind of okay, cool, but it's also a lie, because what happens is, if an app goes idle long enough, or you pick to, say, hibernate the app, it does not back up the APK. Okay, this would be a license violation from Google. What they do is they back up the app data, and then you basically uninstall the app. Okay, if the app then gets removed from the Play Store, you cannot restore the app. That's what every that's what I gather when I look at everything about it. And when you say to do a restore, it doesn't do a restore. It does a silent install from Google Play during the installation process, pauses, pulls down the app data, and then syncs it back up to give you the appearance of the app was just in hibernation mode. But in fact, you now have an updated application.
Okay, so one other thing they brought out at Google I.O. just killed the robin. Shot it with a BB gun. So Google showed off a new feature in Android now that you will not let you use Android apps straight away on your phone without even installing them. So that's basically, it's called Instant Apps. And that's going to be basically what Robin was doing.
Well, but you're not going to get what it sounded like was full, complete app functionality. Depends on the app. For instance, if someone sends you a Facebook thing, you'll get a part of the Facebook app immediately, like literally on demand. You click the link, bam, there it is, like it's installed. But if you try to do too many things in the app, it won't work. So they're somewhere like cutting the line in functionality. I guarantee you now, for a lot of people, for a lot of needs, that functionality will probably suffice for a lot of things.
Well, and it says it's going to require developers to rewrite their apps to a new framework that hasn't been released yet to make it work with this new thing.
And when I follow Google I.O., I don't look at it as, hey, what new cool things are coming? I look at it as, okay, what are they killing now? Because it's a trend that you can watch. After Google I.O., after something is announced, something similar to it dies. Like, Dory, you were talking about Hangouts. Hangouts won't be around in 2017.
Well, I would have to say, yeah, if they're going to kill something off after these announcements, it would definitely be Hangouts.
And, you know, and it's just, that's just the way they work. And it makes people who aren't, you know, hosts of an Android app show leery about putting any kind of emotional or even monetary investment in Android, because you never know where it's going to be. You know, when Google Wave died, you know, people had built whole platforms on that. You could say that it's foolish to build platforms on somebody else's stuff, but at the same time, you never know when Google giveth and Google taketh away.
Well,
unless
you program in assembly, everyone builds off of something.
And if enough people would have used Wave and built stuff on it, they probably would have kept around longer. But I could not even fill a hand with the amount of times that I heard of somebody using Wave for anything.
Yeah. You know what Wave is? It's Slack and Mattermost. And it's all these new wave of things that's what Wave was supposed to be.
Well, but Wave was document focused. It was taking the word processor as the base and then breaking it out into conversations. But I don't see Hangouts going away on the desktop, though. I literally think the idea of convergence needs to stop. I think there are desktop apps, there are big screen apps, and there are small screen apps, and they don't have to be the same app. Mm-hmm. A Hangouts all mobile is horrible. It's slow. It's sloshy. It's not intuitive. It's a pain in the butt to jump back between stuff. You sometimes don't know video, audio, text until you get into it. But on desktop, I think Hangout works fairly good to pretty good.
And all of that gets way worse if you happen to have a Google Apps account and a Google account.
Well, yeah.
Well, even
so, those of us who jumped on apps early were second class citizens. We're not so much anymore, but we still have that legacy of things. And unless you're Jeff Jarvis, you can't get Google to merge those for you.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, he needs to, as Cody would say, pick up a bottle of vinegar and then a bottle of water or something, because Google does not program for the 10%er. Google programs for the 90%er. They don't care about Google Apps because there's so few people on it.
Well, that's the thing, though. So let me interrupt you. They pick a thing and say, this is the next big thing, and push everything into it. And then when it doesn't become the 90%, they say, never mind.
Well, but Apps was never supposed to be that. Apps was supposed to be where you could have your own isolated small network, and then it grew into like small business, business-type network, or your website's email. It was not supposed to be general email, ever, period. It was always supposed to be off on the side.
And it was supposed to be corporate. It was supposed to be your version of SharePoint. That was what they wanted it to be.
Right, and that's not everybody. That's not even close to the majority of people.
It's just, you know, multi-million dollar corporations.
Well, and with And I'll say with them, they want to keep certain consumer functions out of it by design. Business is business. Business and play typically don't match well. So for him to complain about things not working is like me complaining that Google Music podcast doesn't have speed up. It's not for me. It's not meant for me. So I'm not going to actively every week come on, have my little girly looking beard and complain about stuff because it's not for me. And I realize that.
I'm not even going to comment on Dorr saying he's not going to come on a podcast and complain.
So
about that,
like okay. even the Nexus, when I got the 6P and the 5X, the Nexus phones, they wanted you to use Google Messenger for your SMS, and it was horrible. And you could also use Hangouts for it, which worked wonderful compared to. I'm not saying Hangouts was wonderful, but it's much better than the Messenger app. So I don't know if they gave up on that because everybody tried it for a week and went back to Hangouts. I went along with their suggestion, but I just couldn't do it.
Note, this is the first time since I jumped ship from BlackBerry that I have not owned a Google phone. And it's because it's for the first time since 2009 or 10, whenever that was, that I didn't think Google made the best phone. I know you've got the Nexus phone, but when I was looking around at what I needed, it just wasn't the best. And it's just interesting that I think that Google is, while they're still, you know, great at what they do, I think they're trying to figure out what they do, what it is they're going to be great at. And they're kind of half doing a whole lot of things. The Amazon Echo is a good example of that. Every time I saw somebody talking about how great the Echo was, I thought, well, but my phone does all of that already. Why not just make a Google Now device? And they did, which is great, but it's also a ho-hum, you know, this our big announcement is a thing that somebody else is already doing, a thing that we're already doing. We're just now giving you a small phoneless phone.
Right. Well, you have that, which Amazon's already doing. You have Duo, which is FaceTime on iOS. Mm-hmm. You have Hello, which is ridiculous chat bot thing, which I honestly cannot see myself taking part in, but I could be wrong. And then you have VR, which Facebook and Steam are already also doing as well. And
well,
I'll say this, VR's cool, but VR is as pointless as 3D television. It has a super small niche of stupid kids playing games. But you can't play them for hours on end. And guess what? Kids like playing games for hours on end. That's why the Wii didn't take off. That's why the Wii U didn't take off as much as they could, because you could not stand up and do this for 4 hours when they could sit there with the Xbox controller for 4 hours sniping people off in the distance. Gamers will not play with a big face sucker on their head for 4+ hours at a time.
Sure they will. I think that VR is not dead. I think it's only growing, and I think that Google was first to market on this with the Cardboard, and they showed everybody just a glimpse of what's possible, and now that the hardware in the phones is caught up, their hardware on the headset and the controller for it, it's going to be the same trying this out. This is just my thought. I think it's going to be the same trying this out as it was the first time you looked through a Cardboard and like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Now it's going to be, oh, I could see how this is going to be the thing. I don't think it's dead, and I don't think it's as frivolous or goofy as 3D televisions were.
Well, 3D TVs are still out there. 3D displays are still out there, and you can buy them. VR will still be out there in a year or two, but I don't think it's going to catch on, take off, have as much a adoption as these companies would like to believe it's going to have. Because there's going to be certain places where it could be, should be used, but they're going to purposely not do it because certain places just won't like it. The big, for instance, I'll give is like, have people in China have the ability to go through Disney tours, or have me in Baltimore go up the Eiffel Tower. Places won't want that because they're going to feel like they're taking money away from it, and you're showing our copyrighted, trademark, infringed monument or setting, and they're going to be fighting that. So all it's going to be is porn and games.
Dorr, okay, here's my one example, and we'll get off of this, but do you print out your pictures?
Of course not.
Do you take them to Walgreens? Your SD card to Walgreens?
I don't take pictures because I've personally read too many studies and had too many life experiences that tell me when I stop and take time to take pictures, I basically send myself a subliminal message saying it's okay to forget this instance. And okay. When I don't take pictures, I remember things more.
Okay, I agree. And I agree with that totally. But so here's the thing. If you're not going to do either print them or have them printed, if you're going to take a picture, why not use Google Cardboard Camera and have a really nice picture that you can go back and experience
easy, because you can't. You have to have the hardware on you every time to experience that picture. That's why.
But you're going to use it every time you want to look at your pictures, and you're going to see all that.
Well, Eric, if that were true, if what you said was an accurate representation of reality, we would already be doing it, because we all had a ViewMaster growing up. That technology's been around for 40 years. And we didn't all take our pictures with ViewMaster cameras, and we don't all pass around the ViewMaster when we're showing our vacation.
We didn't have ViewMaster cameras. Now everybody's got a cardboard camera. All you got to do is download the app for free.
And you have to have.
And we were still printing them out and taking them to the photo max back then too.
I just think that was a specious argument. It sounded good, but it had no substance.
No.
I want to call you on that.
Well, I in my heart do believe that Google. Or that not Google, but any VR is not going away. I do think that it's going to be something that's more of a temporary thing where you're going to use a phone. I don't see the being tethered to a PC is going to be the way to go for VR. But I think there's plenty of power in our phones to get the job done.
Not yet, there's not.
I think there will be.
Yeah.
But even 2 years from now, when there's plenty of power in them, it's going to be a one-off niche thing. And the big example I give is there's no other content good for VR. If a director wants to do a movie in VR, he's going to have to spend so much ridiculous time programming in the fact, well, if they're not looking over in this direction, snap your fingers, do something, make the people look over, because this is a critical part they can't miss. And that's what they're going to have to do. You cannot do any kind of theatrical thing with a hard story in that. And that could be a huge part of the content swing, but they can't do it.
So then I take it to the next step, which is Oakley's and Kanye West and augmented reality. So you'll never actually take them off. It's not like a thing you just go home and put on. You just wear them all the time, and you see the world as it really is until you want to, you know, modify it in some way.
Which will happen, and we can't get there without where we are. So I see this as growing, you know, an infancy stage, and I get all that, because we can't have the neural interface of Johnny Mnemonic that we all want. Terrible movie, good concept.
Yeah.
Until we go through the clunky strap the thing on your head. So it's a step that we're gonna go through, but I think it's a little early to be singing the praises of this new thing, because it's not yet a thing. It's a zygote that will someday be a thing.
I'm just saying it's not frivolous and going away like 3D television was. The beginning of the rant was that.
Right. Well, first I'll say, wasn't it the maximum capacity in Johnny Mnemonic something like 600 megs? I mean, it wasn't much.
It was gigs. Yeah.
It was gigs. Okay. Yeah. But secondly, I'll tell you where I think VR will be, and it will be a staple, and it will be there forever kind of thing, and that is self-driving cars. Because while the car's driving around, what better to do than stupid stuff like games?
Did you see the paint app that Google's going to be bringing out too?
Yeah.
Where you paint in a 3D area?
Yeah.
That would be fun. I mean, I wouldn't be like an artist in that medium, but I would play with it once or twice probably. Check it
out. The thing that interests me, the thing I think that has really good business opportunity isn't the VR, but it's the Project Tango, which it looks like Lenovo, I think, is going to come out with a couple Tango devices where you're basically going to be able to, and here's the big thing. For instance, Jonathan Adu is blind. He'll be able to hold a Tango device, and it will tell him, in front of you, 5 feet, 15 steps going up. And then as you're going up the stairs, we'll tell you 5 more steps, 4 more steps, 3 more steps. 15 feet in front of you to the right is an exit out of the building. You know, 10 feet to the left is a water fountain. It'll be able to identify things visually via the camera and audibly tell people what to do.
So we all get to be Daredevil. I'm in.
Exactly. And that's the kind of thing I think is really cool. And the other thing I think we learned from I.O. or just around the same time as I.O. Mark is, and I don't know if you are going to like this one. I'm pretty sure it's the death of the Moto X.
Before we go there, though, Johnny Mnemonic, the standard brain capacity was 80 gigs, but with a software update, because that's how you update hardware is with software.
Of course.
It's 160 gigs.
Compression. Well, you know, that's when you use the old Windows compression, exactly.
Double space for the win.
Yes. But, I mean, so, and the whole thing, this is what every year about I.O. that fascinates me, guys. It's a developer conference. How in the hell can we as users have as much to talk about as we just did?
Right. All right, so tell me about the Moto Z. We skipped right over Y.
Well, the Moto Gs look like they're going to take a more prominent role and not be the low-end, I don't want to say burner phone level, but the kid phone level. It looks like they're getting upgrades. And then there's something going on with Moto Z. And I don't know what the hell that really is or is going to be. That might be like the, dare I say, flagship level phone. But I don't know why to change the X except for they just got tired of calling it Moto X 2, Moto X 2014.
Yeah. You have to show some way that you're moving forward. And when you start with X, there's not very far you can go.
You can go double X.
It's the Windows 10 problem, right? When you're already at 2000 and you go back to 10, then what?
That you forcibly install yourself on computers without people knowing how to click no.
All right, let's move on to some apps. And I want to talk first about my favorite podcast app, completely without a doubt now, is the Castback app. Had a couple of major updates in the recent days. If you've listened to us, check it out. And we told you that it was beta and it was rough. You have to go check it out now. It's still in the App Store. It's called Castback Beta, but there is everything I wanted is there now. It is now without reservation my complete daily driver. I've completely replaced BeyondPod, and you know what a love affair door I had with BeyondPod. That's huge to say that I've done that. And so right now there's 6 or 8 shows that have comments enabled. That's Doors and Mine, and that's it. And even without that killer feature, it's still a great podcast app. So go check it out, Castback. It's in the App Store. It's listed as Castback Beta. I'm lobbying for Kacer to get rid of that beta tag because I just think it's not anymore. The one thing that I think it needs is comment moderation by feed owner, and that's such a niche thing that it's not really a big issue. But because only feed owners would get that. But go check it out. I know, Dor, you've been playing with it. What are your thoughts on it?
I'll say, to me, I'm an abuser of apps. I'm edge case. To me, it's very close to not being beta. Only once in a great while, I'll be playing in a podcast and it will just stop playing. And then I just go hit play and it plays again. That's the only really thing I have. I used to have where it would it would occasionally start at the beginning of the show again. That's completely went away. That was my biggest gripe. I like the playlist feature. I like how the playlist feature works. I like the speed settings. I appreciate how each show has its own unique speed setting, because if someone comes on with a thick British accent on my podcast and they're the host of the show, I turn that speed down because, you know, it's harder to comprehend.
And there's also a global speed setting. So I have mine set at 2.3. So it starts there, but I can drag it down, and you can per episode. I've never seen anybody that has a per episode speed setting that's sticky like that. So awesome.
Yeah. And to be honest, visually, one of the easiest and quickest, I think, to comprehend for new users on how the podcast functions work. Here's a series, here's shows, and it just works really good. The only complaint I have is because I subscribe to 60 shows is when I do updates and it literally finds 10 new episodes. That means I have 10 unique entries in my notification shade I got to get rid of when it's done downloading. That's the only, and if that's the biggest gripe I can come up with, well, that ain't much of a gripe.
Yes, Kacer and I have talked about that, and he had it fixed, and then it went away. So I think he accidentally unfixed the fix. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. The things that are problems are minor, and they're not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a couple of issues like that. If something else requires media, it doesn't handle that gracefully, and sometimes it will cause it to stop. But yeah, these are things that mature things that are 4 years old. Have. Mm-hmm. So I'm so bullish about it, and I really think you owe it to yourself to check it out. If you're even a casual, and in fact, I think it's probably a better app for the casual podcast listener because it's designed by a casual podcast listener. And sometimes I'll say something like, "Hey, I'd like to have a counter in my play queue because you know I'd like to know how many things I have coming up." And his response was, "How many things do you have in your play queue?"
Exactly.
Because why would you need a counter when you can just look at them and see them? No, when you got 63 things in the play queue, that's not how that works. So it's designed by and for the casual user, but it has enough power features for the power user. And I that's a rare combination indeed.
I would add, anybody who listened to me sing the praises of Podcast Addict over the years, if anybody, if you want to just give this a try, you're going to find it so easy to come over from Podcast Addict to this. You're not going to miss a beat. You're going to find the podcast feeds you had. And after that, if you wanted to, you could uninstall Podcast Addict and run with this, and you would not really be missing anything. And the interface is similar enough that you're not going to have, it's no relearning. I mean, I remember there was such a big difference like between Dogcatcher and Podcast Addict. It was like night and day. There is a good way to do podcasts, and I think Podcast Addict, I didn't use Beyond Pod enough to know how that was, but Podcast Addict and this are very synonymous, but you do have the added features that the Castback gives you that you're not going to see over there.
Yeah, the only thing that he needs to me to like close the deal, backup progress and restore feeds and progress.
I'm getting really picky.
Well, to me, that's the only thing, because when I switch devices or I flash OSs, yeah, or sometimes I literally like to just uninstall applications and reinstall them because I know there's certain cruts in there that I'm having a hard time getting rid of, because I'm the guy who meticulously, ridiculously takes images of his internal SD card, exports it out, and then does differentials on them to see how much stuff I have now.
Wow.
Where's my space going? And I've seen all podcast players in the past have partial downloads and leave those partial downloads in the file system forever.
True.
So that's the only thing he's missing to me, to be the full myriadum of task and routine to be a complete podcast player.
Yeah, I don't think it's fully there yet, but one of the features that he's working on right now is server-based backups, so that you don't have to do that export-import at all. Once you log in with your account, it says, here's all your feeds and where you were last.
Yeah, that's what we call a leapfrog.
Yes,
and I was just going to bring that up because that's if I could go seamlessly from my phone to my tablet and pick up right where I was, that's something. You know, I tried out the Chrome or the Google Play Music podcast, and that's something I thought, well, for sure, you know, play podcast player. That's a no brainer. They've got all the information. They've got all my devices and everything. You'd think it would just what if anything was going to do that seamless jump from device to device and pick up where I was at, they would have, but they don't have it yet.
Now, there's only two that do it perfect that I know of. One is an antenna pod, because it's using the G-Podder backbone. And Dogcatcher, I still think it's in beta. It's been in beta for like 2 years, but I think you can join the beta and get the Cloud Sync option enabled on there, and it did work nearly perfect. But to have a synced also to desktop mode, G-Podder can do it. Sure, and the heck ain't pretty. But if he can pull that off as well, then I think he will have he'll have the whole base covered. I mean, everything.
And if you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. I promise.
Yeah, there you go.
So there's my app pick of the week. Eric, what's your first app of the night?
Okay, my first app is, you know, Dora, where you put the Eric like. Can you put Eric don't like on one? Because I'm bringing the crap app right off the bat.
Sure.
I was so upset with this one. I don't know why I had any expectations for greatness out of it, but it's Ellen DeGeneres' app, and it's called Double Down Casino Slots Free. And this, she officially endorses this pile of crap.
No.
What a sellout. This is the... it makes you mad the very second you install it, because it makes you, before you can even spin a wheel or do whatever gambling thing it does, you have to create an account. And the account, you know, I use LastPass, right? I'm not making my own passwords up no more, right? Mm-hmm. So you put in a username and password. There's no way to get LastPass into here because it doesn't even have the correct cursor or typing area to put your username and password. It's some kind of weird thing that you can't copy and paste into, even. So thumbs down on that, and then it's full of ads and just crap, crap, crappity crap.
Well,
Ellen DeGeneres, I hope she can get every dime that these people paid her to be in this back and take her name off of it.
Okay, I don't defend celebrities much ever. Are you sure she's endorsing this? I mean, I'm not questioning you, but of course I'm questioning you. Because this app literally looks like crap.
It is. There's nothing. There's no good part of this app. And yes, she's totally this is her little fun app.
Wow. I mean, the only word that comes to mind is sellout.
Oh, yeah. With no homework at all.
Well, because I missed it, and I know if I did, the listeners did. What was the app that you hate?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's called Double Down Casino, and then / slots free by Double Down Interactive BV. It's a casino type game.
Well, yeah, and they're implying you can win money, but there's no way you can win money.
I don't know. I mean, in-app purchases are $1 to $99 per item. So
140,000 five-star reviews, 230,000 total reviews. Oh, my Lord.
Well, I am not seeing the five-star reviews and scanning. Okay, there's one, I guess.
Since when is simulated gambling T for teen? I'm just wondering. I thought gambling was for adults.
Yeah. I heard a good theory the other day, or today actually, since I'm in a casino for this ethics conference, which makes perfect sense. Somebody was telling me that they have a hard time getting away from the machines because they're harder to get away from them than they were last year. And another person explained it to the person, it's because you're always playing like these games on your iPad, like Candy Crush and stuff like that. You're just used to it being so simple. It took all of the money, the risk and stuff out of gaming. And since these slot machines here look almost identical to what you're doing on your iPad for fun, it you think you're doing it kind of still the same for fun, but it just cost you $200. And it's taken the risk out of it. The people are losing the risk that used to be in the back of their head for stuff like this. I don't know if there's anything to that, but it sounded good.
Well, it sounded credible. I really have a nasty taste in my mouth just looking at this app.
I know. I mean, I'm not a huge Ellen fan, but this...
Well, she's funny.
Horrible decision by her.
Well, something tells me it was her insert title position here, you know.
There's a very good chance that she's never actually seen the app.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, hey, can we use your picture?
We'll pay you money.
Oh, one other thing, jumping back to CastBat. He's putting a video in the Play Store, so go get it now before it starts to suck. Because, you know, once the video goes in,
it's over.
Did you do the background talking for the video?
No.
Oh. I could.
But he hasn't.
Was one of your podcasts playing when they were doing the demonstration during the video?
No, actually, he asked me to do a demonstration, and I did this show. So, and I posted a comment. That's what she said, because I figured that would be the internet appropriate comment.
Oh man! Oh man!
Perfect, Mark. All right, that's it.
All right, so moving right along, that was the crap app. Dora, bring us something good to sort of clear the bad taste out of our mouths.
Well, this app is good. It's good for comprehension. This is a straight callback to Steve C. This app is called On Touch Dictionary Pop-Up. E for everyone. Completely free. No in-app purchases. And no ads, I think, thought. All this is, it's very simple. You know how in some apps you can basically touch and highlight words. What this basically allows you to do is very quickly get and grab definitions of words. We've brought apps like this in the past. A lot of them only seem to work in certain applications. This app seemed to work in a lot more applications that I use. Also, if you want, if you have headphones in, because that's the way I think about it, you can hit the audible speaker button and you can hear what the definition of a word is. Steve C. was a big believer that when you're reading something and you got to a word you didn't completely understand the definition of, you would then have a possibility to be confused till the end of the document. So he always believed that was one of the reasons he used to like the Kindle ebook reader, was right when you stumbled across a word that you did not know, you could easily highlight it and get the definition, and that's what this app allows you to do.
I actually go one further. If I'm reading something, I look up the pronunciation of like a foreign name, because I don't want to read, you know, the whole book without knowing how to pronounce the name. So I'm even more of an OCD than he is.
Right. And I'll say, here's one more little feature of it that I actually like for work environments. You can literally add your own custom definitions. No, I'm going to use it.
That could win bets.
I'm going to use a word that, every dictionary I looked in was never there, and it was adjudication. And I know I'm pronouncing it a little bit wrong, but at my job, we have a unit with that word in it, adjudication. And when I asked somebody what the hell that was, they said, well, it's adjudication. Well, why is there an A in front? Well, you know, so literally, it's one of those things you could have your own custom definitions, especially for like work-related material or acronyms. Hypothetically, somebody always says, you know, EMV. What the hell's EMV? I don't know. It technically, there's no definition for EMV, but you can add your own custom definition. So every time you see it, you can click it and then be reminded, oh.
Electromagnetic vehicle.
Yes, exactly. Of course. Or yeah, something like that. So I like the idea of this a lot. Knowledge is power. Reading is fundamental. Do it for the kids. You know, all that stuff.
Now we use the word adjudication. Is that the same thing?
Adjudification.
No, but we actually have a
I know.
Adjudication hearings.
And when I asked them, is that the same thing, they said no.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. It was the same thing.
I don't know where they made the word up, but it really confused me.
Well, yeah. Google's never heard of the word.
Yeah.
It says, did you mean adjudication? Right. Oh, well, yeah, I thought I did.
It's the process of being adjudified.
Well, see, yeah. I'll say at my work, I do believe there's a certain thing that happens. And that is, like, for instance, we have somebody there. Hypothetically, not really. Her name's Catherine, but she always tells people call her Kitty. So everybody only knows her as Kitty. And then, of course, you go into Outlook and you type Kitty, there ain't no Kitty there. So it's like, oh, you can't find me. She'll never get an email from somebody who doesn't know her explicitly. And I think that's the kind of thing going on here. I mean, having a name of something that's not real makes it much harder for someone to accidentally stumble across something that they need. But I digress.
All right, let me read an email. The one email I have tonight, so savor it, because this is the one. From Dan Gardner, it says, Dear AAA crew, I heard Mark's recent complaint about ES File Explorer. I haven't experienced any problems with the pro versions putting any adware on my phone. I haven't used the free version for several months, so I can't speak on that issue. However, this is a trend that has been happening for a while with free software, slowly getting ad creep. The first time I really noticed it was with Go Launcher a couple years back. Originally, that was an excellent free launcher. There was no pro version ever, as far as I know. When the developer came out with something called the Next Launcher, once they released that, I was constantly hit with notifications to try Next Launcher. I mean, like twice a day or more I got notifications. It was annoying. So annoying that I bought the Pro key for Nova Launcher and abandoned Go. I would have gladly paid the $4 I paid to Nova to the Go people because I really like the product, but they didn't have a way to pay for the app. What really confused me was why they didn't think their Go product was worth selling, but rather they felt the need to create a totally different style of launcher when there were a lot of us who were happy with Go. I've heard it said that Android users are cheap and don't want to pay for programs for their devices. I think developers have this impression of their target audience, and this contributes to the ad creep problem. Anyway, getting back briefly to ES File Explorer, I still use it, but I'm getting a little tired of some of the features they keep adding, and such as changes to the interface. In fact, that's a rant of mine about a few apps. You get used to the way something works, and they change it. I might be looking for a new file browser app soon as well. I like ES, but sometimes you just have to change. Thanks for a good show. Sincerely, Dan Gardner, San Antonio, Texas.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's... I know I only have my job to reference. We have a thing called scope creep, and it seems like a literal disease that there's no cure from, where everyone always starts saying one thing, like, hey, do me a favor, when you're going out, can you pick me up a burger? And then right when you're walking the door, oh, can you pick me up a fry as well? And then right when you get to your car, there's a message, and can you pick me up a drink? And then when you get to the place, I forgot. I love their apple pies. It's like some people for some reason cannot stop doing that kind of creep. That's why, to be honest, I'm now drawn, torn, and I never thought in my younger days I would say this. I'm drawn toward things that charge you a very small nominal monthly fee or a acceptable yearly fee. Because I'm a stickler, and I said this on the lap show, continuous money equates to continuous development. One-time money equates to one-time development, which means the developers are going to have to look for alternate means for income.
Yeah.
It's true.
Can't argue with that.
And developers, hear me say this. If you're going to change your app, give us a verse to change people an option to pay to not have it changed. Right. That sounds reasonable, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't cost you. I mean, you pay $50 a year to be an Android developer, and you can do as many apps as you want. So it doesn't cost you more to throw another APK up there and call it the classic version, and charge us $1 to keep the thing that we don't want to change.
Right. Or the donate version. It almost reminds me. I just saw a thing, InSync, InSync. It's a paid app service that I use on Linux to sync my Google Drive to my desktop, and it works really good. And it costs money. And I almost don't care how much money it costs. But they just announced for 48 hours, you can get it free for, I think, a year. And then paying people are upset and pissed and like ranting and raving. And I said, me as a paying customer, I love the fact that they're doing this. Because they're doing everything in their power to draw new customers in and hopefully get them to be lifelong customers. Because the more lifelong customers that company has, the more likely they're going to be around next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And you know, coming, he's right. Android people don't pay for things. Open source people. That's been the knock on Linux and open source users forever. Often it's the cost-free nature of something that attracts us to it, not the ideologically free nature of something. Pay for your software, people. Programmers got to eat. And if you don't pay for it, they can't make money, and they either end up doing crapified stuff with adware because it's an easy revenue source, or they stop making the things you love. Pay for the things you love.
Yeah, and I'll reference a Google Plus posting from a blog posting made literally hours before this podcast from Ikey Doherty. Ikey Doherty is the creator of Solus OS. He's created multiple Linux distributions. He's made his own desktop that's now getting adoption across a scale. He's done a lot of different things. He technically works for Intel right now. He did a good posting where he said, I subtract the word project, and I could put the word podcast or anything else in its place. So I'm going to say the word develop applications in its place. If you start to develop applications with the goal of making money, get out of it. That's not the reason to do it. If you start with the goal of making good quality applications to make people happy and fit a need and fit a niche, and then you figure out ways that you can monetize or get support, you're more likely to be much more successful. When you have to start out and answer to a board and answer to a bank account, you're going to make decisions that you ethically and morally might not initially make. And when apps get so big, I think they get to the point to where they now have to start making decisions based upon, well, we have 3 developers and 2 marketing people and blah, 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 blah. And we just got to do whatever we got to do to keep money coming in.
Yeah, and Dore would never say this because he's too much of a gentleman, so I'll say it for him. Pay for the podcast you love, too, for the same reason. If you want to drive the show, if you want the show you love to stay the show you love, you got to support the guys who make it.
Right.
End of soapbox.
Right. Or, like my father-in-law would say, wish in one hand, poop in the other, see which one gets filled first.
And on that bit of homespun wisdom, Eric, next up.
All right. I'm going to bring an app that I can't really try out myself, so I'm going to give it to the rest of the people to try out. This is a new app from Waze. It's called Waze Rider, and basically it's how you can hitch a ride with somebody who uses Waze. I don't have enough population in my area to qualify. I tried. I signed up. I'm sorry about the bad URL here. Copy and paste. I tried to sign up, and it said, well, you're just, it ain't happening for you, dude. But basically, if you download this app now, and I don't know how long this goes for, I do have a $3 credit already just by installing it. So I can, or no, a three ride credit. I can get 3 rides. So maybe, you know, when I'm in Omaha tomorrow, maybe I can hitch a ride or something with some random person who uses Waze. I think it's more for group people all going to the same place of work, though, because when you sign up, it asks you your home address and your work address, and I think it's more for picking up other people who are going to the same place you work at, like if you're in an office complex or a high-rise or in a skyscraper or something.
Yeah, the app is called Waze Rider Get a Ride by Murder Incorporated.
No, it's by Waze Transportation. And no, they're just getting into Uber and
Well, I'm a guy who's willing to get into any random person's car. Well, come pick me up. This is where I live. This is my house.
Yeah.
No.
You're a Waze user, Mark. You could be supplementing your income with this thing.
But I don't want my daughter using this app. Therefore, I can't recommend that other people use this app. It seems like a lot of risk for a little game. And I'm a generally trusting person. But this just made my BS meter go crazy.
Well, what I don't understand this whatsoever. Waze is owned by Google. Uber, I thought, was owned by Google.
I thought Uber was owned by Germans or something.
I thought Google bought it.
Oh.
I could be completely wrong, but I'm just going to say, Kate, hypothetically, I'm wrong. This is what I really don't understand. If I'm driving to work, okay, this is what I'm guessing. This is how I'm guessing how it works. I put in my route from my house to my work. Then other people say, I need a ride to the OBGYN. Yes. Oh, and yes. It just happens to be in the middle of where this guy goes to work.
It won't be me or Mark, mind you. We won't need that ride.
So I'm not taking somebody else to work. I'm taking somebody else to the bar, the liquor store, OBGYN appointment. Super.
They got to hope they can find a way home.
Well, hopefully all three. I don't know.
This really does no matter how many times I ride from a place to a place called going to work, I'm not leasing out the seat of my car to anybody. If I'm that hard up for money, I'll get a better job or I'll get a less expensive car. I don't understand this. I
think it's a way to make friends and save the environment. I don't know.
If you're an ex-Navy SEAL packing heat, go right ahead.
Are you also a vegan, Eric? I'm just wondering.
I feel guilty driving to work as it is. I don't have any life experience to base this on. I've never in my town seen a pink mustache or a sticker that has a U. So I don't know.
I've never seen the sticker. I've been in multiple Ubers.
I saw one on the one we shared.
Oh, yeah. And up in whatchamacallit.
She had the sticker.
I didn't see
it. I will say, of the many, many reviews, like 3 pages of them say, don't work, infinite loading. So it's clearly early in the development cycle. But does this say it's got over 100,000 installs? So how early can it be?
Well, we were alerted to it in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community, I believe. And the person who put it in there, I can't remember who it was, but they said, get in now while you can, or get in early, because I think it just came out. But, you know, Waze is so popular, I'm sure word spread pretty quickly. And Waze is responding to some of these.
Yes.
That's kind of nice.
In their native language.
Hey, now maybe it makes a little bit more sense. I'm just going to say, I'm not drawing any insinuations. I'm not making any remarks on anyone's history or anything. But it just so happens, Uber, Eric said, made by Germans. Waze, the website says, made from Israel. I'm just saying. And that's where I'm stopping.
What you're saying. Okay.
Oh, I wish I had another email to read. I can't bail you out, Dor, so you're going to have to do it yourself with your next app.
Okay. Next app I'm going to bring... A friend of the show, friend of the network, a friend of mine, Richard Hughes, reminded me when I was younger, I used to love going to sleep with noise. Didn't matter what the noise was. I used to live right by an airport, so it was planes. And then when I was a little bit older, I would turn the stereo on, low volume, go to bed, and stuff like that. But now with the wife who says she can't sleep through anything, I have to go to sleep in dead quiet, which is maybe the most boring, like, hard thing to do mentally sometimes. And so I found this app, and I'm literally tempted to see if I can get, like, I don't know, like a woolly hat with headphones in them kind of thing quietly, so I can use this app. It's called a Soft Murmur, M-U-R-M-U-R, Soft Murmur by Gabriel Martin. E for everyone. Does have in-app purchases. I believe it's just for more, one or two more sounds, but it's really a donation system, I believe. Completely free to download. 2,999 reviews, 4 out of 5 stars, 100,000 to 500,000 installs. it's just a simple app. I really did like the appearance of it. I thought it was very beautiful. You basically have a volume, a timeout setting. You hit play, and then you can adjust the volumes of everything from rain, thunder, wind, fire, birds, coffee shop, crickets, stuff like that, white noise kind of stuff, a singing bowl, which I don't know what the hell a singing bowl is. I didn't hit that one. And then basically have that playing softly in the background for either comfort, for zen-like state, for meditation, or for sleep. You know, you make the decision here. I just really liked the look of it, and it really did just work, I'll say.
What I find this useful for myself is not for sleeping, but for focusing at work when I'm coding or I'm deep in a problem of some sort. Music, particularly if it's music I like, it'll draw me out of what I'm doing because I'll be enjoying the music. If there's lyrics, my brain will want to latch onto that because I'm a verbal person by nature. It'll want silence because, you know, sometimes I need to drown out the conversation of the coworkers around me. So I use apps like this just to give me some noise that will block out the people around me, but not distract me from what I'm doing. So, you know, other than sleep, that's the app the application I use applications of this nature for.
Yeah, I will say once in a while when I hear a song, the song will distract me. So I absolutely understand. But because we're all of a certain age, did you hear Rage Against the Machine, Chuck D from Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill want to form a super group?
That would and be a makes, super group.
I don't. Well, at first I thought, aren't you guys almost 20 years too late? But then I thought, why not? Have at it. Have fun. If you sell tickets, congratulations.
Well, I think that's why people like that can do it, because they don't have to make money anymore.
Rage Against the Machine's last album, they did a bunch of remixes of other people's songs, like Bruce Springsteen and songs like that, and it is just great. I'll just throw out one of my favorite songs. It's called Tom Joad, which used to be a Bruce Springsteen song, but is done extremely well by Rage. And then
I think the best work Metallica ever did was on the Garage Inc. album, where it was all covers.
Mm. This app, I got Jason Smith. You guys talked about study and kind of thinking and stuff using it. I was a little confused when he put, he would give it 5 stars if he could set the sounds to randomize volumes that were to become, if that were to become a feature. I'm like, hey, if you're trying to sleep, do you really want the volume settings randomized?
I could see them fluctuate, but I would not say randomize.
Soft murmuring brook and then a big thunderclap. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to see if I can find this video, guys. I want to have it at least in the chat. Okay, I'm going to look for it. You guys are talking about covers. Here was something I didn't know. Okay. It's like a 4 or 5 part little mini thing. It was on Vimeo. That's why I can't find it. Called Remix. And it started out talking about Led Zeppelin.
The documentary.
Right. And how when they started, a lot of people said, you guys are cheap. You guys are just copying. You're stealing music from this jazz guy. You're stealing music from this rock guy. You're stealing music from this folk guy, because they did.
But wasn't that everybody the song did. Remains the same? And they were kind of saying that in the name of the album?
Yes, exactly. The only difference was when they did it, they did not give attribution on the record album, where before that, it was commonplace for everybody to do covers of everybody else and take it and enhance and do different things. And that's what made me think about that when you said that, Mark. It used to be almost a badge of honor to do other people's songs and see if you could do them better. And it hasn't really been done, except for, of course, Weird Al Yankovic, but that's completely different.
He did a lot of those even better than me.
Yes.
Okay, we're up to Eric now. What's your next app?
Oh, my next app is a game, and this is a remix of a game that we've all played. And This one is called Rotatris, and it's a remix of the game Tetris, but it's in a circle instead of flat at the bottom. You're like stacking the blocks in a cylinder or in a cone, really, actually, inside of a cone, and you work your way up to losing the game, and it's pretty hard. Rotating these pieces, it's not obvious when you rotate them how they're going to look when you're used to it being enough just a flat 2D Tetris surface. The game is fine. There's a little glitch with the controls, though, that sometimes it doesn't do exactly what you're hoping it would do and kind of makes you really mad. So I think they've got a little bug. They gotta work that out. But other than that, it's ready to go, except for that little game bug that doesn't happen often, but it does happen sometimes.
From the video here, they're really pushing the competitive play with against your friends.
Yeah,
angle of it.
The only thing they're missing is selfie spot. I digress. The one thing that is not clear, you said it, Eric, so I literally had to look for it really closely because they ridiculously speed up the game footage. It's hard to notice the rotations of the blocks because every bit in the game footage is sped up by like 5 to 10 times.
Oh, which I think is. You're right.
Which I think is very, very bad of them. The competitiveness is, to me, I don't know, childish.
I did only the classic mode. I did not play competitive.
I mean, I haven't played, okay, yes, showing my age. I have not played video games to quote-unquote get the high score since arcade cabinet machines. You know what I mean? Even when I played everything on computer and everything I played on PS2 and everything, high score wasn't really the option. I mean, to beat somebody, yes, like head-to-head Madden or whatever, but high score to me is, I don't know.
Did you put your actual three initials in back then, or did you have a...
Nope.
What did you do?
Well, I made it, and then...
D2D?
No. Door-to-Door Geek did not exist.
Okay.
I foolishly made a selection, but then through sheer stubbornness, I stuck with that selection forever, and that was B-O-Z, Boz, for Brian Bosworth, maybe the biggest, the biggest disappointment in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know.
How about you, Mark? Did you use your actual initials?
My initials are M-A-C, which sounds cool enough, yeah. So I went with Mac.
Yeah, and my initials are horrible. It's Emma, E-M-A, so I always, I did A-K-A. Was always my initials there. If I was fortunate enough to make it to the league.
Anybody under 35 or maybe maybe 30 has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the worst thing was when there was a power failure and your high score got wiped away.
Or when you know the person who works there reset the cabinet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Driving.
I grew up in a rural area where the power grid wasn't that stable. And so the old converted corner store that had once been like a general store used by Conestoga wagons didn't have the most stable electricity possible. And so high scores didn't last really longer than a couple of weeks.
I think they did it like once a week or once a month just to give everybody a chance again.
No, to give everybody a chance again. It gave everybody a reason to pump more quarters into the machines.
Right. I mean, that was there was no way I was going to get on the leaderboard if they didn't do that. So you're right.
Yeah, on one of them, the guy, I got kicked out a lot of places when I was young for defiant stuff just like this. I remember playing Joust in the arcade, and I got a high score I thought I could never get again. I knew where the power button was because back in the day, some machines, if you would hit the power button and hit it again, you would get a free game. So I knew where all the power buttons were on all the machines. I got the high score. I came in early the next day with a piece of floor tile, little piece of floor tile, maybe 2 inches by 2 inches, and a tube of crazy glue. And when nobody was looking, I took the crazy glue around the outside of the tile, and I put it on top of the cabinet covering up the power button so no one could reset the machine.
Wow. Man, that's a hack.
Like about 4 days later, 5 days later, the owner wrenched me up by my collar when I walked in because he apparently found it and went back and looked at the video and saw me do it. I said, what is it, me? It was my brother. I don't have a blue shirt like that. You're crazy.
Oh, yeah, like video, like surveillance was in color back then, Dor. Jeez.
It was. It just looked horrible.
All right, guys, we are over an hour, so let's fire our best shot here. Eric, start with.
I just brought Rotatris was the last of my tanks, so it's Aldor.
I was giving you the chance to go twice.
Okay. I know.
This one,
Dor, rapid fire, hit us with your best shot.
The first one I got to bring in honorable mention of Steve C. Yet again, he got two mentions on this show, even though he says how my editing completely sucks.
I was gonna say, I hope our audio is good tonight, even though I'm
no. It still sucks. It always sucks. And I love him dearly. But again, Eric, like 3 days ago, he pinged me and said how horrible it was and how he couldn't believe I would publish it and let it go out like that.
Oh, my goodness. I was just saying the opposite of it. I thought we were sounding pretty good.
And I didn't say your name. I didn't say, well, Eric said it sounds good because then he might have gave you crap. But this app is called Tap DJ EDM. He's an EDM junkie, creator, DJ, whatever. And I thought this was very visually, absolutely EDM, bright, colorful, blah, 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 blah. Had, I guess, good EDM music playing at the same time. I don't know. But it was basically like Guitar Hero for EDM.
Yeah, it does.
So if you like the idea of Guitar Hero and you like the idea of EDM, then Tap DJ EDM is the thing for you.
This is a good game for me because it just has random rewards. So whether you do good or bad, it doesn't matter. You still might get rewarded. I like that in a game.
Right.
So I just want to, since you brought this up, anybody listening, if you want to troll us and let us know how bad we sound, just if you listen to other podcasts, just email Steve at smdcomputers.net.
Yeah, because I can't take it. Please don't. I can't. No, I'm already self-conscious enough. I love Steve, and he really does just literally once in a while take me into a corner and beat the living crap out of me. Okay, what I'm going to bring next is a game. I'm not sure how to pronounce this. The Aetherlight, possibly? Aetherlight by Scarlet City. Everyone 10 and up. Some sort of in-app purchases. Completely free to download. Only 18 reviews. Only 100 to 500 installs. This is really, really new game.
This app is incompatible with all of your devices.
Well, awesome. There you go. That's how new it is. And I swear, Mark, this is a strategy experienced app developers use, which is severely limited to devices until they're really sure they have all the bugs ironed out. This is very new game. I'm not even really sure I like the game because there's no real-time combat mechanics. And I really like the idea of me taking control and beating somebody with each button. You know what I mean? This is right, this is left, this is forward, this is back. No, it's basically just tap to attack. So that was the one thing that really I didn't like. But the animation style was almost cartoonish. And that was enough to at least draw me in to play a little bit. It is Japanese RPG-ish a little bit, at least a little bit. But I actually had a little bit of fun playing this. So if you like the idea of action adventure, it's not real-time strategy. It's World of Warcraft-esque mechanics. I definitely encourage you to check out this game, Aetherlight, I believe is how it's pronounced.
And if you want to see a video with really cool-looking cartoonish graphics, this is a great video to watch. Is that the graphics on this game look just really, really neat. It's hard to describe what style this is.
I don't know.
It reminds me of something, but I can't think of what it is.
There's a little bit of Asian-ish style in it, but it's almost 90-ish, late 90s cartoon somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Okay, this one I'm going to bring next, Mark. If you're not satisfied with that one, I'm sure this one also won't satisfy you, because I'm sure this also is unavailable for any of your products. This is called, and I quote, Super Slam Dunk Touchdown. Super Slam Dunk Touchdown.
Holy mixed metaphors, Batman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is by NVIDIA Shield. Ding, 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 ding. That should set up an alarm. Everyone 10 and up, no in-app purchases, one review, one stinking review, not 100, one review with only 10 to 50 installs because it's $12 for the game. But I'll say this game is actually a little bit hard to describe. You're on a combination soccer, hockey, basketball court.
Don't forget lacrosse.
Lacrosse, sorry. Court, all at the same time. You have almost roller derby-esque character actions and reactions. And your goal is to score on the other player. And this literally looks like something from the late 80s.
Yes.
The only thing I can guess is maybe they're trying to ride the wave of success on another platform, because I've never heard of this, and to charge $12 for it stupefies me to no end.
So in one of the scenes here, you're on ice, but it's clearly a basketball court with a basketball goal and a soccer goal behind the basketball goal,
mm-hmm.
with a lacrosse goalie standing under the basket with hockey players with sticks and one of the opponents driving a Zamboni running over opponents.
Well, yeah.
It's the kind of bedlam that I would love to play if it were compatible with anything that I own.
Or and less than $12.
I love the advertisements along the edge of the court. Try food. Go team.
Right. Wow. Okay, I'm going to bring two more quick ones. First one is called Gang Fort, GANGFORT. This is described, Team Fortress 2D by Gang Fort Action, T for Team, because it's definitely a little bit violent. $1.99 to buy, no in-app purchases, 291 reviews with only 1,000 to 5,000 installs. I think this is going to get a lot more downloads and installs sooner than later. This was definitely old school, late 80s-esque graphics, side-scroller, almost like Super Smash Brothers-esque, fighting and rampaging and combat and shooting and killing and destruction and mayhem. I did buy this, not with a $50 thing, but before that because of my opinion rewards, and this was stupid, mindless fun is the best possible thing I can say about the game. You just shoot.
My favorite thing about it is that the gamer tag of the character you're playing is you, Y-O-U.
Well, apropos is what I would say. Okay, going to bring one more, and multiple people literally, quote-unquote, hit me up about this in the last 24 hours, like literally three people, one of them being Cody Cooper, and no, this is not a $20 game.
Hmm.
This is called Leap Day by Natrome. E for Everyone does have some sort of in-app purchase. I honestly don't know what that is. Again, sorry. Completely free. I never paid any in-app purchase for any of my stuff. It just seemed to work. The gimmick with this one is every single day they give you a brand new level to play. That's their ongoing continuous promises. You're always going to have a brand new level to play. Period. Ultra bright, ultra colorful, one finger game. You're always running back and forth from right to left. It's a portrait game, not landscape. You're always running back and forth, left and right, left and right. You have one button anywhere on the screen. You tap to jump, or you tap and hold to like slide down a wall. There's nothing about this game that is super easy. Every single level is challenging. Almost disturbingly challenging from time to time. But if you don't like that level, wait a day.
Huh.
Brand new level tomorrow. Wait a day, brand new level next day. And it keeps going and going.
That's a good, that's a good concept. I mean, yeah.
Well, I like the idea, just because it's different than I think of, I think. Brand new level every day. That means literally any day you think you're doing good, also, doesn't matter. You know why? Tomorrow you're going to start all over.
And so tomorrow you can't go back to yesterday's level either?
I didn't see a way to do that, no.
Okay. This is a good game for me because usually I'll get to a hard level and never go back to the game again. So this installed.
Right. Now, I'm going to say obviously there's some sort of algorithm going through every day just cranking out levels or whatever. I'm sure somebody reviews it and then can tweak it and modify it, but there's no way someone's going through every day and creating a new level.
Have you met them?
Well, no, but they might have a team that does 30 a month, and they started with 100. I could see that.
I don't know. That's a lot.
You haven't met the guys over at Nitrome.
You're right. I haven't. But I can tell you they're in United Kingdom, so I'm not.
Compatible with all of my devices. I feel better now.
Well, there you go.
Thank you for ending on a strong
note. It only took 3 apps to do it.
And if we were to have them on our show, it would probably be 2 in the morning, so they're probably not going to be on our show to ask them how they do it.
Just a word of about that. All of my devices are tier 1 flagship devices, and still
not. You can't install this?
No, this one I can't. Oh. I was just, lest you think I'm complaining about the fact that it won't play on my, 2007 Nexus S. These are good phones, and things just don't play on them. I don't know why. I guess they're picking like, I don't know. I mean, the Nexus 5 is one of them. Everything should be compatible with the Nexus 5.
No. I always bring young, immature games. They do not come out first for popular devices. First, they come out for niche devices.
Well, that's why I think the Nexus 5 is a good one, because it's such a stable platform. It's been around 3 years. It's solid. It's still, spec-wise. I mean, I would write to the Nexus 5 if I were a developer, because it's going to hit the sweet spot for a lot of other apps. It literally, by definition, is the reference device of a couple of years ago. Anyway.
I was a little miffed today, too, Mark, about an app that wouldn't install on one of my devices. I tried to put Outlook on my tablet, and it wouldn't install on there. And I think it might have to do because it has an Intel processor in it. That's my only guess that could be why.
Oh, wait. Maybe because it's Microsoft.
Oh, that could be Microsoft. Maybe.
And it sucks.
True.
And I will say, I've now used Outlook for months on my Remix Ultra. It is the worst emailing application I've ever used in my life. The only reason I use it is because it works with a calendar.
Have you corrupted your PST file yet? Have you lost every email you've had saved?
No, I have gotten reprimanded, but every so often I literally just go through my email, hit Control A to select all, and hold down Shift and hit Delete. Why? Because if it's really important, they'll email me again.
Oh, man. See, unfortunately, okay. I can't do that with mine. That's against the law.
Well, I'm not supposed to. Yeah.
So just a life hack there. If your IT department deletes deleted emails after a certain amount of time, and you don't want everything hanging around in your end basket, one could create an inbound filter to copy every email that comes in, the moment it comes in, to a folder called, for example, archive, just off the top of my head. Right. And therefore, it wouldn't be deleted, but it wouldn't be in your end basket either, and you'd always be able to search it a la Google. I'm not saying that I would do that, because that might be in violation of certain policies for certain people, but it's just something I came up with that somebody might want to do sometime.
When you say search it a la Google, like a Google or with a Google?
Well, like Gmail, everything goes to the archive.
Right.
Even if you delete it, it goes there for a while. So every email, I got so used to everything being searchable when I came to a place where I couldn't access Gmail.
Right.
I was like, wait, what? What do you mean it's deleted? I don't understand.
Yeah, I just don't delete anything. I file it in appropriate places.
Well, it's to save space. Yeah, anything in our enterprise automatically gets deleted after 90 days. So they tell everyone you have to configure your own desktop archiving, because why for God's sake would they have it enabled and configured from the first boot? Makes no sense. Why would they ever do that? So you got to do it yourself. And there was a guy there who started with Novell groupware mail. And when we did maintenance on one of the servers, I went and looked and I said, well, this is the users folder server. Let me go look around. Who the hell has taken up all this room? That guy had 200 gigs of archived email.
Wow.
He never deleted anything. And I said, anything? And he said, if somebody sends me an email telling me I want a boat, I don't delete it.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I do delete some things.
Yeah. He was special.
I had a client one time who printed out every email he had ever received with a dot matrix printer. And they were piled. They were stacked.
I've heard of people doing that, and I would personally want to set fire to their office.
Those people should just lose their internet driver's license or their computer driver. You just don't deserve a computer.
Okay. I'm not going to tell a story.
All right. Let's not do that. So before we go down a deep end we shouldn't go in, I'm going to say that's going to do it for our show. Eric, any final words of wisdom for our audience?
No, I want to say thank you to those who are donating to the podcast in the different forms and ways that they do. We mentioned a couple of them earlier today, but one really super, super easy way to donate to the podcast network is podnuts.com/Amazon. Make your purchases there. It makes no difference in the way you shop or your shipping time or your price, and we get a little kickback on that. If you do nothing else, just do that.
And there's a browser plugin. I wish I had it off the top of my head for Firefox.
Bonsai Buddy?
Redirects a certain URL. For example, I use it on Facebook. Anytime I type facebook.com, it automatically redirects it to chronological because they keep giving me the top stories. But one could also set that up so that anytime you type amazon.com, it automatically redirects that to podnuts.com/Amazon. Just saying, simple, easy way to do it. And that way you would always remember to do it. Actually, you wouldn't have to remember and you would just do it. Dor, what about yourself? What are some other ways that people could support you either monetarily or just support your morals or give you moral support, whichever way that goes?
Well, I'll say there's a place in Glen Burnie, Maryland called Ann's Dairy Cream that has fantastic double dog foot long hot dogs. I love one of them. But I seriously want to say thanks to everyone who is a friend of the network or a friend of the shows. And and not limited to just people who listen to this show, because there's plenty of people I know that I consider good friends that don't listen to this show. They always listen to something else. I don't have time for that, or I don't like Android apps or whatever. Everybody who participates in the community in any shape, way, or form, anyone who ever sends me an email just saying, hi, your audio sucks, I still like you too. Everyone who supports us in any way, I honestly cannot thank you guys enough. You guys give me at least the mental power to tell myself in 10 more years, I'm going to have 30 years at my job and I'll be able to quit. And I might be able to do this thing full time.
That would be the goal for, all of us really would be that, except for my 30 years will be in about 30 years. So,
oh, sorry.
Yeah. I've often said this is the job that I would like to retire from. And I guess retire too,
agree.
As well. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us, people. I got an email from a listener recently who referred to me as Proby. I don't know when my probationary period ends, but I'm certainly enjoying hanging out with you. Just a bit of a programming note. I'm going to be taking an extended time off as I go through the process of buying a house and moving and doing all that sort of stuff this summer. But I will be back because I really like being here. And I thank you for letting me hang out with you. We appreciate it. But for now, I'm going to sign off and say, you stay classy, Internet.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.